Talk the Vote, right here on the Generic Live Show, giving you all of the critical information you need to know before America votes. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Diving into a brand new week, thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. So good to be here with you. Dale Campbell here, of course, on a Sunday. Yes, that's right. We are talking mostly about the election because we are within 10 days of knowing who the newest president of the United States is. Americans, you head to the polls in 9 days. On Tuesday, the 8th of November, you will know, you will go to the polls, you will vote, unless you are in a state that does early polling. By the way, you will know, you can vote now, by the way. I just want to put that out there. I know Florida, particularly, is one of those states that does do early polling. As well, I know they do early polling there, so that you can get in early and vote for everything that needs to be done there. What you want to vote for, the presidential, the down ticket races as well, can be voted on there as well. So we are talking the vote, we are talking most things, we're going to be talking polling, we're going to be talking the electoral map, we're going to grab latest information from people, from Donald Trump, from Hillary Clinton, some other fun stuff here, talking the vote here on the Generic Live Show. This is mostly what we're going to be doing here, so do stay tuned. Ooh. Nope, okay. The page refreshed. I think it's just added another poll in. No, it hasn't. Okay. The page just refreshed for some reason. Okay, there we go. We are back. All right. So, we've got to do how to tackle this. We're going to do the four-way poll, and we're going to then move to the map, because the map, the electoral map, where 250 electoral votes from the Electoral College is needed to gain the presidency. We'll look at the map and how that's shaping up, because, oh my god, it shows tales. It tells tales in particular states. It tells tales that are scary. Actually, legitimately scary. And they do bring in some very scary thoughts in some of these polls. We do have the, as it currently stands, says Real Clear Politics, by the way, for these the polling information and the electoral map as it stands. They are a good, reputable site, by the way, when it comes to all this sort of stuff, when it comes to polling and looking at data. So the four-way race as it stands now, a couple of minutes past the hour here. Real Clear Politics average of the last 9 polls shows Clinton up 3.8 points on average. So that's Clinton at 44.9, Trump at 41.1. Gary Johnson, the Libertarian, up at 5.3, and Jill Stein at 2.1. It's a downward, it's a stable trend for Stein, a downward trend for Johnson, an upward trend for Trump, and a kind of steady-ish, kind of slightly declining for Clinton, though, sort of, because Clinton's been up and down since the beginning of the month. She's currently up on the beginning of the month, but now she's down. Want to mention this as well. It was 30th of July 2016 since Trump actually was leading in the average polling. Of course, he's been up in certain polls as well. None of the 9 most recent polls, by the way, show him up. The Reuters Ipsos poll, which is 1,170 likely voters, shows Clinton up 4. CNBC shows Clinton up 9. Pew Research shows Clinton up 6. Fox News, of all people, shows Clinton up 3. The Economist and YouGov show Clinton up 5. Gravis shows Clinton up 1. Rasmussen reports shows a tie, which is odd. IBD and TIPP tracking poll shows Clinton up 4. ABC News shows Clinton up 2. That's a total average lead of 3.8. I wonder what the... If you take out the other candidates, I wonder where the vote is going there. Real Clear Politics average, Clinton at 47.1, Trump at 42.5. Oh, these don't look good either. Trump, Clinton up 4.6 on average. Clinton, though, on a sort of upward and downward spread. This election is really unpredictable. You don't know where it's gonna head in this sort of direction with the two-way tracking poll, because it's been up, it's been down. You just never know. So it's kind of a damp for the month since the beginning of October. If we can get the beginning of October up here, since the beginning of October, it's been a even point for Clinton, but a downward spread for Trump. On average, this is of the last 9 Real Clear Politics average polling, shows Clinton up 4.6. Reuters Ipsos shows Clinton up 6. CNBC shows Clinton up 10. Pew Research shows Clinton up 7. Fox News, again, of all people, shows Clinton up 5. The Economist / YouGov shows Clinton up 3. IBD / TTP tracking poll shows Clinton up 5. ABC News shows Clinton up 3. And LA Times, University of Southern California tracking poll shows Trump up 2. I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works for me from a poll that is from based out of California showing Trump ahead by 2 and Fox News has him down. I just don't see how that works, but we'll push on now to the scary part. Here is where the map is looking now. So you need 250 votes to win. As it stands today, 9 days out, Clinton / Kane, Clinton's vice presidential pick, secures it at 252. There's 160 toss-ups that are on the fence, and Trump-Pence has 126. That's 115 that are solid for Clinton, 54 that are likely Clinton, 83 that are leans Clinton, 160 toss-ups, so we can go either way, 36 votes that are leaning Trump, 41 that are likely Trump, and 49 that are solid Trump. That's 49 against 115. Oh boy. So let's look at some of these states, which are just, I don't know what, these toss-up states, for example. So, Florida, for instance. The Real Clear Politics average shows Clinton up 0.7. In 2012, Obama was up 0.9 in 2012. 2008, Obama was up 2.8. In 2004, Bush was up 5. So, Florida is still in it thus far. So, I think it's safe to say that I think Clinton might nab out, but I can't say that for sure. We'll do this next map. We'll just focus in on some of these toss-up states first. We'll go into more detail, of course, later on in the show here. Ohio is up Trump 1.1 on average. It's a toss-up state. In 2012 and 2008, it was both Obama, 3 and 4.6 respectively. But in 2004, it was Bush at 2.1. Pennsylvania is a current toss-up. Clinton is up 5, which is, I think, the borderline for toss-up. Obama in 2012 and 2008, 5.4 and 10.3 respectively. And in 2004, it was Kerry up 2.5. North Carolina, Clinton is up 2.4. That's a toss-up. And Romney won that by 2 points in 2012. Obama won it by 0.3 in 2008. And Bush won it by 12.4 in 2004. 12 years ago. It was 12.4 Republican. It's now 2.4 Democrat at this point. Nevada, is it up 1.6 for Clinton? That's a toss-up. Obama won it in 2012 by 6.7, and 2008 won it by 12.5. And in 2004, Bush won it 2.6. Iowa is another toss-up. Trump is up 1.4. That swung, because Obama got it in 2012, 5.8, and in 2008, Obama got it by 9.5. Bush won it 0.7 in 2004. Arizona, Clinton's up 1.5. Romney won. That has been red. It's now a toss-up. And how you know that is Romney won it. Romney won it 9.1 in 2012. McCain won it 8.5. And Bush in 10.5. That's 12, 8, and 4, respectively. The 2000s. I don't understand how Clinton is ahead in Arizona. In Georgia, Trump is up 2.8. That's a toss-up. At the moment, Romney is at 7.8, McCain's at 5.2, and Bush is at 16.6. That's 12, 8, and 4, respectively. Texas, Trump is up 4.7, but that's a toss-up. Texas is a toss-up. How? How is it a toss-up at this point? Romney's at 15. Well, Romney won it at 15.8. McCain 11.8, Bush 22, nearly 23% in 2004, the other two 2012, 2008 respectively. Maine is a toss up for Trump, it's at 4.7. Obama won it twice, with Kerry winning it once. That's Maine CD2 with one electoral vote. But how? How? I don't understand. My biggest takeaway from this week is how has Texas become a toss-up state? And that is as red as my laptop is. Most of the time as red as my face. But I don't understand how Texas is a toss-up. It's not even likely Trump at this point. It's, as the map stands, it's a toss-up. I don't understand. So the toss-up ones again are Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Nevada, Iowa, Arizona, Georgia, Texas, and Maine CD2. I don't know. CD2. How? I don't understand how it went from leans Trump to toss-up. I don't understand. So, if you get rid of toss-up states, it's not going to look good. Here's how it works. Kane and Clinton get 333 votes if you take the current averages and put them in one column or the other. And Pence and Trump get 205. They... 270, sorry, I think I said 250. 270 vote, electoral votes are needed to win. So Clinton, Kane don't quite get there yet. So we're going to play around with this until the break, I think, because that makes for interesting radio, and I determine what makes for interesting radio, because that's fun. So as we fly around, Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, Arizona, of all places, that were red until the cows come home. I don't know how that works. New Mexico, Colorado, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, which is kind of no surprise, Michigan, Vermont, New Hampshire, New York, Maine, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina, Florida, Hawaii, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, excuse me, and District of Columbia. All are going to Clinton if toss-ups were decided today. If there were zero toss-ups. If it went into the way the polls are. For Trump, he gets Alaska, Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, Utah, which, hang on, is Utah? Utah still leans Trump, thank God. Which, that was red until the cows come home, too. Wyoming, I think I said that. North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, thankfully Texas, if the toss-ups are the limit, it goes to Trump and Pence. Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Indiana, what's that one, Kentucky, Idaho, oh, Ohio, rather, Kentucky, what's that one, West Virginia, Tennessee, South Carolina, Georgia, where are we, Alabama, and Mississippi go to Trump, if the toss-ups were eliminated today. Oh, and he gets Nebraska District 2 and Maine District 2. So where are we going to go from here? So what if Arizona goes solid Republican? Excuse me, change to likely. It gets moved to likely. So what if Arizona gets likely? That brings Kane and Clinton down to 3-2 and Trump Pence up to 216. He hasn't got enough. He can't. There's no. If he pulls out a win in Florida, it goes back down to 293, 245. But that's likely. Picks up Nevada as well. That brings it down to 287 and 251. That seems to be the closest. Where are the toss-ups? So, if he gets Georgia, where's Georgia? Georgia's there, and that's already leaning. That'll already be in Trump's column. If he gets North Carolina, okay, there we go. And it's, the Democrats are still at 272 and 266. If he gets Maine, that's the other one I wanted to change. 270, still at 270. Wow. This is going to be a blowout election. This election sucks. It's going to be a blowout election. Oh, and if he gets the Maine District 1 as well. Okay. That's to tie it up. All that last bit was to tie it up at 269 apiece. So what I changed was Trump getting Arizona, Florida, Nevada, I'm going to change a lot actually, Nebraska District 2, Maine District 1 and 2. I swear I changed more than that. Oh no, yeah, it'd be about right. So it gets Nevada, Arizona, Florida, Nebraska, no, not Nebraska, yeah, Nebraska District 2, and all mains, then he can tie it up. This is going to be a blowout election. That's how the map is looking. Of course, excuse me, my throat was getting dry. So, there's still 9 days to go. But in terms of electoral votes, there's just not what to do. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, previous changes. What's that button do? That button does nothing. Okay. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, we will continue to talk the vote here on election. Not election. It's not election night. But we will be doing something on election night. So stay tuned. I will announce that after we get back from break. Plus, more stories out of both campaigns this week that'll make you scratch your head and wonder why you're covering this election. Oh, wait, no, that's me. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's 9:21. Right here on the Generic Live Show, giving you all of the critical information you need to know before America votes. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. So good to be here with you talking the vote. That's right. This is probably going to be, I think, the last chance before election night where we'll actually get to sit down and fully unpack this in great detail. I think next week is Extra Life, and we won't be talking much about that. Might come up in conversation, but we won't have enough time to fully sit here and unpack this story as a whole. So this is it. This is the last show before the presidential election. Now, speaking of which, US presidential election night, there's going to be a very special episode of the Generic Live Show. We are actually going to be doing an election results show. We're going to be doing it live. Me and my partner in crime, my actual partner as well. Funny, I should use both of those terms in the same sentence. CJ Boat will be joining me as well. We're going to break down as results come in. No times confirmed on that one, so stay tuned on social media to when that show will be going live. Me and my partner CJ, both from Kikayo, will be sitting down and unpacking what just will come in from election night. What will come in from election night is probably, and I'm just in the commercial break, I was just looking at this. At this map, I was just looking at it going, this no toss-ups map, and just how was Texas, that thank God Texas is swinging back on, swinging back to Trump, but how is it a toss-up at this point? How is Arizona going to be Democrat, is going to be Democratic? I don't understand. There is a narrow path, and I think I need to explain this a little bit more before we talk about what's happening on the campaign trail for both of these candidates. I think we need to sit down and I need to re-explain what I said before the break. So, for Trump, that is, because Clinton's got an easy path. Clinton Kane's got an easy path. They're at 333 if they win. They win every state on the planet. If they win Washington, if they win District of Columbia, if they win all the ticket items, it's up to Trump now to try and bring this home, which he needs to do the following. He needs to win Arizona. He needs to win Nevada. He needs to win both Maine. Excuse me. He needs to win Maine and win both districts of Maine. He needs to win Florida, which is a toss up, but it is when you do the no toss ups, it is in the Democratic category. He needs to win New Hampshire. Then it's a tie. Arizona, Nevada, Maine two districts, Florida and North Carolina to bring it back even to 269. Then he has to win one other state to bring it home. And the states left to choose from. He has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 states to then choose from on which one to win to bring it home. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy for Trump in this election cycle. The fact that Texas is a toss-up, the fact that Arizona is a toss-up, Florida being a toss-up, I can see, because it's even within the last 12 years, it's been within 5 points. Georgia being a toss-up is just beyond me as well, because for the last 12 years, it's been above 5 points. North Carolina, a toss-up, I can see, but that was a Romney state as well from last time around, and Clinton's up 2.4 there. The only good news for toss-ups when it comes to Trump is Ohio, as he's leaning that back from Obama, but Bush had it in 2004, so you can't really do that. It's not gonna be easy. He needs to get also leaning GOP as well, are interesting for Trump to try and tie up. He's leaning in Indiana, Missouri, and South Carolina, which are included in the no toss-up states, by the way. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, we'll hear noise from both sides of the aisle when it comes to this election campaign, and quite an interesting way of how American families are deciding on this US presidential election. We talk the vote here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us. It's Dale Campbell here with you on a Sunday. It's 9:31. You finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. Yeah, I do apologise for the technical difficulties there. I don't know what quite happened there. I think our bumper music was a little bit distorted there, but we are up and moving here on a Sunday. So good to be here with you. We are focusing pretty heavily on the US presidential election this week, because this will be pretty much the last chance we'll sit down to talk about it before election night. And don't worry, we will be doing election night coverage. It's happening. If you like it or not, it's happening. Help, help, it's happening. That's right. Thanks for joining us here, though, on the Generic Live Show, as we talk everything you need to know for the vote. We'll have a look at the map again. We'll have a look at where the ones with toss-ups, and if the election was to be held tomorrow, where those toss-ups would go. As it stands right now, though, we'll give you electoral votes. It takes 270 electoral votes from the Electoral College to get to the White House. 252 to Kane and Clinton, Kane being the vice presidential pick, Clinton being the presidential candidate. I don't know where I said click. 160 electoral votes can go either way. 126 are in the bag for Trump, from Pence, Vice President Pence, and President Candidate Trump. So, let's hear what we've got going on either side of the aisle here. So, in terms of the Clinton side, we've got a video entitled Clinton on Emails, Let's Get It Out. Let's listen to see what this is. Let's have a look. If it will work. Will it work? We're doing it live. We're doing it live. This is live election coverage on GLS. It's me padding now, yes. There's Clinton's face. I don't understand. It says it's 1 minute 32. Alright, so we're going to start playing this Donald Trump audio then. Really going from one side to the other to the next. So we'll come back to Clinton as she loads. As well as her email server also was loading. Apparently it can't load. So here we go. Here is Trump. Now he's saying...
We have not been contacted by anyone.
Here is Clinton, by the way, about on the emails. And then back-to-back. We'll do back-to-back. It's back-to-back Clinton on emails and then Trump doing a rally in Iowa as well.
We knew about it is, I assume, when you knew about it, when this letter sent to Republican members of the House was released. So we don't know the facts, which is why we are calling on the FBI to release all the information that it has. Even Director Comey noted that this new information may not be significant, so let's get it out. You know, I think people a long time ago made up their minds about the emails. I think that's factored in to what people think, and now they're choosing a president. So I would urge everybody to get out and vote early in all the states that have early voting, because I think Americans want a president who can lead our country, who can get the economy working for everyone, not just those at the top, and who can bring our country together. You know, we've heard these rumors. We don't know what to believe, and I'm sure there will be even more rumors. That's why it is incumbent upon the FBI to tell us what they're talking about, Jeff, because right now your guess is as good as mine, and I don't think that's good enough. So we've made it very clear that... if they're going to be sending this kind of letter that is only going originally to Republican members of the House, that they need to share whatever facts they claim to have with the American people. And that's what I expect to happen.
Hillary Clinton wants to raise taxes on small businesses up to 45%. What a difference. You know, what a difference this is. And just thinking to myself right now, we should just cancel the election and just give it to Trump, right? What are we even having it for? What are we having it for? Her policies are so bad. Boy, do we have a big difference. The Washington establishment to hear and heed the words I'm about to say. If we win on November 8th, Okay, you ready? When we win.
Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump has yet to pay
a lot of good energy in Ohio
like he promised.
So when
he only gave his campaign.
We are going to Washington, D.C., and we are going to drain the swamp. You know, that phrase started about a week ago, and I thought it was terrible. I didn't like it at all. I said, I don't know. I just don't like it. And now it's become one of the hottest phrases anywhere in the world, and I'm saying, I like it. That's like, did you ever see the great singers, Frank Sinatra? Some of his greatest hits, he didn't like them. But at the end, he liked them very much, right? It's what happened with Drain the Swamp. It's a great phrase, but it's true. The people like it. That's much more important.
Okay. First of all, what? Second of all, huh? Okay. So, Frank Sinatra didn't like his songs to begin with because of a different reason than you, Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump. I'm gonna say you, Mr. Trump, as in if he's listening. But I say, oh my God, what the? You listen to both of those back to back. By the way, that was Clinton on his on her emails rather, and Trump on canceling the election. I think is the takeaway from that message. But the point I want to make here is, I think for me, oh my God, this is over when you can't explain this. And that's the first time I've heard this drain the swamp kind of speak, by the way. Going in, and I've worked on political campaigns before. I've had to, A, play the game of politics, and B, on a much more micro level, by the way. Micro level? Yeah, micro. Micro small. Macro huge. And where I think you think of stuff like what Trump was saying about how we're going to go in there and we're going to quote-unquote drain the swamp. I think in terms of that would not be a great idea when those people are in a particular... there's a Republican majority in the House right now. I think going in there, you know, draining all of those resources out probably wouldn't be a good idea right about now when you want to bring people together for a common good. How it worked where I am, by the way, this is a point where I was going, is you tie yourself to a brand. You tie yourself to... And this is Donald Trump we're talking about here. He should be able to tie himself to a particular brand. He might not like the brand, but you tie yourself to the brand, then two things win. You win, and as a person, as a product, yes, I'm comparing Donald Trump to a product here, and yes, I'm getting all marketing geeky goodness on all of you right now, because have fun. So you win as a product, and the entirety of people within that product group, the product group wins as a whole. And here comes Dale analogy time. So if a maker of a new cereal, because Donald Trump has not run for public office before, so say, for example, if there's a new type of cereal, and it's huge, and it's magnificent, and that's not me trying to do a Trump impression, by the way, I just want to put that out there. It's huge. It's the best cereal you ever seen. I mean, really. I mean, it's one of the best cereals. So, I'm doing Italian for some reason. It kind of slips into Italian. I am blame the skin tight blue shirt. So, here's the deal. A new type of cereal comes on the market, and it's like, it's the best cereal. It's got lots of nuts. It's just, you go wild. Okay, first of all, out of context. Second of all, you go, particularly with advertising and marketing, and to be fair, running for office is marketing yourself. It's personal marketing. You tie yourself to the cereal brand. You are a cereal at this point. You're on the shelves competing with other cereals. You don't see all of that much, especially another brand of cereal that is competitive in the market. You don't see them coming out and going, new GLS Crunch is the worst, most terrible thing. It should be stripped from the shelves. It's just awful. You don't see that happening. And to be fair, I have no idea. Like, he has been doing this for years. He's had businesses, he's had successful ones, he's had failed ones. We've all succeeded and failed. I'm not defending the guy on that. But when he turns around and does stuff to sabotage his own brand, you kind of walk around, you kind of go around thinking, why is this happening? And you look at it on the other side too, by the way. I'm going to be fully transparent here. I don't care if it gets me hate mail at genericliveshow@gmail.com. Slip the email in there. I have that noted, by the way. Just slip the email into this segment. Just this segment alone. My point was, you look at it on the other side as well. You've had Hillary Clinton with all of these emails, and they're bad. It's like if people kept getting food poisoning from this cereal called GLS Crunch. It's got lots of nuts. I don't know. This election cycle's got me comparing things to cereal, of all things. I'm hungry for cereal now. I don't know. A bowl of cereal. Hungry for cereal. So, in saying that, you know, it's contaminated. But it's experience on this side as well, and she's not going out against other Democrats. Oh, right, negatives. Gotcha. By the way, I want to come out for the record and go, if I was in the US, I would either skip the presidential race and not vote in the presidential race and just vote down the ballot, because it is important to vote. By the way, I might be poo-pooing, and that might be tarnishing on my reputation of an up-and-coming broadcaster, but there's really, you have to sit back and kind of sigh a little bit. It is important to vote, and you do, and as much as Ted Cruz and I don't see eye to eye on a lot of issues, but I kind of do agree with him on this point. You do have to vote for your conscience, and as a moderate myself, I'm a moderate person. I'm not a party person by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, I do have... I suppose that's not entirely true. I do have ties to the Australian Labor Party. But... in these days, I do. But I'm a fairly moderate person. And when it comes to my political views, I mean, I have ties to the Australian Labor Party. I shouldn't say I'm not a party person. I am a party person these days. But that's only for one election cycle that I have been. So it's probably a bit different when I go back to the polls this next time around in our upcoming state election, which that'll be fun. Stay tuned for that in 2018, I believe so. Oh, by the way, I want to mention this before I get too far off track, which is a little late for that. I got polled Friday. I polled on Friday, telephone polled, randomly selected, quote unquote. Where was my point? Where was I going with any of that? Okay, so as a moderate person, I can see both sides, and Ted Cruz, thank you. How did I get back there? So I do agree with Ted Cruz when you do have to vote with your conscience and where your heart lies. If your heart lies with a far-right loving Donald Trump or far-left embracing Jill Stein, I had to. The opportunity was there, I had to. You vote, you have that conscience about you, you have that vote, and it's important to do that all the way from the top to the bottom. You might vote Trump and vote Democratic down the bottom of the ticket. That is who you are as a person. I just wish it was easier to do that, because that would make life a whole lot more easier. But alas, it's not. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, we will do a fly around the country in terms of polling and that sort of thing, and how are American families deciding who to vote for in the US presidential election. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show as we talk the vote right here on GLS. Thanks for joining us. It's Dale Campbell here with you. It's 9:51.
This is The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on The Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. So, thanks for joining. Glad to be here. Just want to put that out there. We are talking the vote right here on The Generic Live Show, by the way. You know, in the second hour of the show, we're going to do something a little bit fun, because we need a little bit of fun. For the second half of the show, we're going to play a little bit of a game. But first, US presidential election. How Americans are choosing between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Teresa Thomas and Sally Gittlesbrunn are old friends and they're having dinner. Sorry. So just wanna, that sentence is the sentence of the year, and they're having sentence. Teresa is a Republican, and Sally is a Democrat. And in a year of unprotected political division, it's an unusual pairing. Quote, I don't want to argue with anyone, I want to respect people's views, and even if they are totally opposite from mine, Teresa says. Unquote, Teresa says. We've known each other for many, many years, and I respect the fact that she understands the political process. She exercises the right to vote, and I believe in this country that is, even if she votes for something different, I don't want my friends just to be people that only think that I do. Unquote. The pair is having a meal at Teresa's home just outside Columbus, Ohio, a state that is known correctly for choosing the president. This year, it's a toss-up. Donald Trump is marginally ahead by 1.1 points. Quote, tell me why you're not voting for him, Teresa's husband Lally asks Sally during the debate over dinner. You trust her as she lies, he says. Well, he lies too, Sally says. Oh, God, this is... By the way, This is this election. Just wanna, right here, this is this election. She lies. So does he. Well, he's bad. Well, so is she. She has emails. Well, he has sex accusers. The to and fro is a reaction of national conversation as voters choose between the two most unpopular candidates in history. Hillary Clinton battles trust issues due to the ongoing scandal for missing emails and from her time as Secretary of State, while Donald Trump is repeatedly offended with his rhetoric. It's been a challenging campaign for parents like Teresa, who have been helping 16-year-old daughter Rachel navigate the language and the issues being discussed. Rachel, however, has made up her mind. She's taking the decision very seriously, and she will be voting in the next election, 2020. I'd rather vote for someone that I don't unnecessarily like versus someone I can trust, she tells Sally. A survey says in Ohio that 59% of voters think Ms. Clinton is untrustworthy, and 51% about the same as Donald Trump. The survey was conducted before the FBI announced that it'll be examining new evidence in the investigation of Mrs. Clinton's emails. No minds were changed around the dinner table, but different perspectives were shared, which Teresa's objective when she invited Sally to share a meal. I wanted her to share with Rachel how she came to this ideology so she would understand, she said. For Sally, it was more a productive conversation than the one going on between the politicians themselves. Quote, they seem so divided that each side thinks the other is going to destroy the country by voting for the person of their choice. Personally, I don't care. Oh, whoa. Personally, I think we can survive either one of them for at least 4 years. Well, first of all, this is what this election is. Second of all, that this is exactly what this election has boiled down to is, she's bad, so is he. Well, she's bad, bad, bad. Well, he's bad, 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 too. Again, I wouldn't vote top of ticket. It's important to do your civil duty, I understand that. I would skip. That That is where I am at. I would skip. I'd vote down ballot. I would skip president. I was leaning towards Jill Stein for an alternative. I just couldn't do it myself. I mean, that if I had to vote and it was a necessity, I would vote Jill Stein. I know my vote wouldn't ultimately count. I'd have that argument thrown at me before, but the point is, I just, in my conscience, if I had to vote, she would be the candidate I would be most relatable to. As we continue here on the Generic Life Show, on a Sunday with Dale Campbell, we will fly around the country and tell you all of the latest polling information, and I'll tell you why I'm using polling and not betting odds. Interesting around there. We'll take a fly around the country as well to tell you how Donald Trump can tie this up, because Clinton and Kane have got this in the bag if it was held tomorrow. Or even today, as we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Thanks for joining us. It's good to be here. We are talking the vote for 2016 before America decides. That's right. Totally not padding at all. It's 10 o'clock.